Father, I thank you as I look around this sanctuary for each and every person that came out to sit at your table. Father God, I see hungry hearts. I see needy hearts. I need people, Father God, that need a healing. I see souls that need cleansed. I'm asking you, Father God, to let your angelic host move throughout these chairs this night. Minister to your people. Meet each and every need. Father God, open up their spiritual eyes and their spiritual ears. Let them see, let them hear what you're doing, Father. Let them comprehend what you're trying to say to them. And Father, we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I welcome Sister Terry from Pennsylvania. Good to see you. Amen. And anybody else that hasn't been here before or in a while, you're welcome tonight. Just join in and let the Holy Spirit have his perfect way. Don't worry about what you're supposed to be doing. You just sit there and just enjoy yourself and let the Holy Spirit move upon you. Amen. I'm going to teach you on power of determination tonight. You know, we have to have determination if we're going to make it. I was reading an article today where it says that the world is so engulfed in perversion, sexual perversion, that it's just so out of control. And as I read that article, I thought about the drugs. The drugs are horrible. You know, there's nothing but gross darkness out there. And we, as a body of Christ, we have to be determined in our hearts, really determined in our hearts that we are not going to get caught up in that mess. What really bothers me is I see people that we work so hard with, get them set free and they get right back into the same pigsty. I don't have an answer for that, and I wished I did. You know, because, you know, somewhere along the line, somebody has to get saved and stay saved. Somebody has to get delivered and stay delivered, you know. And it's just, I think it's all in your mind. I think you have to determine your heart and your mind that you're just going to not go backwards again. I could be wrong. I don't know. But something has to change. Something has to click. And, you know, like I told God years ago, God, the Word is not doing it. So we need another move of your Spirit some way, somehow. And the Word still is not doing it. But I know that God is moving in a different way. And I know that when all said and done, it's going to be done the way He wants it done. He's just not doing it in my timing. Somebody ran across a bulletin when my granddaughter did in 2006. It had to be a bulletin when my mother died, and we had her picture on it. Excuse me. And there was an insert put in the bulletin. It was a prophetic word God had given me, and He said that He was going to start a revival, and it was never going to stop. And He said we would have revivals. We would have an actual revival every 2 months. And He said the glory was going to come and would never stop. I'm going to bring it and read it to you, but I'm going to encourage you a little bit. And so whenever we had our first revival, what, about 6 months ago, was it? God told me the very same identical thing. It's word for word that He told me in 2006. So I said, okay, God, in 2006 you told me this. Now in 2017 is whenever it's happening. So what I'm trying to say here, nothing's ever in my timing. And when God said He's going to do this thing and you think it's going to be happening right now, it doesn't. And so you don't give up. You just keep holding on and just keep yourself full of hope and just keep encouraging others that if God spoke, it is truly going to come to pass. Now, it does come a point in your life that if you don't straighten up, it won't come to pass. God will take your mantle and give it to somebody else. So it's just because God said, I've called you to be an evangelist, or you're in the fivefold ministry, or whatever He said, if you're not working for holiness, if you're not working for purity of heart, you're not going to walk under that, and you won't receive those mantles. And God even told us He's taken some mantles and given them somebody else already. Now, if I was part of the body of Christ, which I am, that would scare me. to hear God say he's already taken mantles and given to other people. And I just every day say, God, I really don't want to lose my mantle. Do you? I really don't. I'd be awful upset in hell. I would probably just tear hell apart. You know, if I ended up down there after working so hard, right? That would really make me furious that I was so stupid that I would give the enemy an open door or even a crack to come in and steal my salvation. Come on, I'm just like that. You know, I work so hard for something. I don't want anybody to steal it. Do you? I mean, that was my labors I was put in there. All right, we're talking about the power of determination. 1 Corinthians 2:1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. This is what Paul said. I did not come to you with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. See, everybody thinks, oh, I got to speak just so, you know, and do this. That. No, you don't. All you have to do is be full of the Holy Spirit and just go ahead and let God speak through you. Amen. When I first started ministry, I'd just gotten out of college, and I knew all these great big college words, you know. And I'd get sermons together, and I use these words, and the people look at me like, what did you just say? So I found out that whenever you're preaching to the body of Christ, I don't care how intelligent you might be or what big words you might know, you have to break it down so the body of Christ can understand it. I'm not interested in how well what big words you know. And, you know, at the time I was going to college, I worked at the air base, and one of the guys was going to college, and he came and used these great big words. And they said, there he goes with his 50-cent words again. He was trying to impress the other guys, you know, that he was in college, and he learned all these great big words. So let's not be impressing nobody. You know, we are who we are, and it's the Holy Spirit that speaks through us. And sometimes when Brother Aaron speaks, I think, well, you just lost me. Because he goes into all these, I think it's physics. I don't know what he taught, how what he taught. But he gets in there and he loses me. But that's okay. He doesn't lose everybody. It's just me. You have to tutor me later. Amen. Just let God move the way he wants to move on you. So, divine determination tells you that the Lord does not give us a spirit of fear. That's why I had that song. And also for another reason why I played that verse is because I heard the guy in 88.7 said they played that song the other day, and he said, I love that song because he said, the world out there is a mess, and we have to understand we don't have a spirit of fear. You know, God took care of that fear, okay? Divine determination tells you that the Lord does not give us a spirit of fear. For 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now take that sound mind and then be determined to receive the things of God. Take that sound mind that God gave you and then be determined to receive the things of God. But if you let the devil talk you out of them, you will not receive. In the 4th chapter of Matthew, Jesus met the devil head on. But he had divine determination, and he said to the devil 3 times, it is written. Matthew 4:1-11, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Satan knew he was the Son of God. But see how he does? He does the same thing to you. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took Jesus up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. The devil knows the word. All right? That's why not everybody that says they're a Christian is a Christian. I don't care how much of the Bible they throw at you, the devil can speak the Bible too. All right, verse 7, Jesus said to Satan, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now see, we need to do what Jesus did. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, Satan said to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. It already belonged to Jesus, right? See how stupid he is? Think about this, what he does with your life. In verse 10, then Jesus said to Satan, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." After Satan found out he couldn't tempt Jesus, what's it say in verse 11? Then the devil left Jesus, and behold, angels came and ministered to Jesus. See, the same thing will happen to you guys. Are you listening? I'm determined, and I know that I know that I know that my God is for me and not against me. And so therefore, the enemy, he is making me feel a little bad, but he cannot kill me. I can stand a little bit of pressure. How about you? If you can't stand pressure, then get out of the fight, because it's going to get stronger and stronger, and you're going to have to fight every day. Determination is a strength that carries you through the path of success in the midst of obstacles. You know, I wouldn't let the devil kill me right now anyhow, because we're getting ready to go into the glory. I'm not going to miss out for nothing. How about you? See, you have to think about these things. Devil, you have to be determined. You're not taking me out. You're not going to have my kids. You're not going to do, you have to be determined, and he has to know that you're determined. He knows whether or not you believe what you say. And you dummies, you sit around here and say, "Devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus." He knows you have no more strength than the words you just spoke. Come on, because you already yielded to him. All right, determination. I'll try to stick to my script here. Determination is a strength that carries you through the path of success in the midst of obstacles. The word obstacle is a compound word derived from two words, obstruction and tackle. Every obstruction in life is to be tackled. You hear that? Don't think it's going to go away. It isn't going to go away. Tackle it and get rid of it. Determination is the ability to tackle anything the enemy throws your way. All right, let's talk about the power of determination. God has created you with a purpose in mind, and that purpose is your destiny. It is your destiny that produces dreams or visions that you pursue. Dreams are the result of discovered destiny. The fact that you have dreams does not necessarily mean that you fulfill your destiny. In order to fulfill your destiny in life, you need more than dreams or visions. You know, God has spoken to you what he wants to do with you. That's your vision. And that's your goal. And that's what you're headed for, right? In order to fulfill your destiny in life, you need more than dreams or visions. There are other elements that make fulfilled destiny possible. These include planning, determination, dedication or commitment, focus or direction, and discipline, and so on. You have to have these ingredients in your life if you're going to fulfill your destiny in Christ. You know, I could have quit years ago, but I'm determined. I'm one thick-headed girl. I am determined. Devil, you are not going to destroy me. Devil, you're not going to run my life. And he knows that I mean what I say. And see, the problem with you is he doesn't know that you mean what you say, because you become weak and you falter and you fall whenever he throws something your way. You need to start being determined in your heart that no matter what he throws at you, you're not going to stumble and you're not going to fall. Just that simple. I'm really not a person that likes to be in the limelight, even though I've been there most of my life. I like to sit in the background, and there's lots of times I like to just sit there and let somebody else come up here and do their thing, you know, do God's thing. Beg God to get up there and do your thing. You know, let me do it through you. So I have to be determined. I said to God the other day, I said, you know, God, how old am I? 81. I'm 81 years old, and other preachers are that old. They just go to church and sit there and let somebody else do the preaching. They just show up. And I said, the ladies come and they make breakfast for them every morning and come and clean their house. And they don't have to do anything but just sit back and relax. And I said, and I don't have any of that. And he says, because you're not retired yet. All right. So I have to keep right on working for the Lord, right? So I have to have determination that God said, you can't sit down and rest and just watch me work through others. I have a determination. I have to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, and get up and do what he's telling me to do. God has created you with a purpose. And where am I at? Is that where I'm at? Where am I at here? There are other elements. No. There are so many challenges that we face in our lives each day. But God has given us the grace and ability to conquer them all. He has. He's given us the grace and ability to conquer them all. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have to know that. It takes determination to be an overcomer. By the virtue of the fact that you're of God, you will overcome every opposition and challenges in your life. There is nothing that can stand between you and God, because the greater one is in you. Hello? Hello? There is nothing that can stand between you and God, because the greater one is in you. At the beginning, it may seem that you are losing ground, but don't give up, for God is on your side. We need to realize that it is not over until God says it's over. Too many of us give up, you know, when we want to give up, but it's not over. You're the one to quit the race. Determination has to do with courage, being strong and of good cheer. Determination has to do with courage, being strong and of good cheer. God spoke to Joshua several times, and in all those times he kept telling him to be of good courage and be strong. In Joshua 1, 6 and 7, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance a land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Be strong and of good courage. You have to determine in your heart, I'm going to be strong and of good courage. I'm devil, I don't care what you used to do to me. I am no longer your puppet. I've cut the strings, and I'm going to be a child of God and stay a child of God. I'm not a yo-yo. And that yo-yo's not in your hand. I am strong and I am bold, and I'm going to go forth and I'm going to conquer the land. That's what God told us to do, did he not? It is pathetic that many people do not fulfill the purpose for which God has made them. The reason is that they give up on the way to fulfilling their purpose in life. Well, you know, the devil's so strong, I just have to do what he did. No, you do not either. Come on. Talking to somebody this morning, I'm bipolar. I said, get out of here. You do what you do because you want to do it. I don't care if you're bipolar or not. I don't care if you're schizophrenic. I don't care what you are. You're doing what you're doing because you want to do it. And they are determined to do what they're doing. And so they're doing it. All right, where am I at? Example. Demas was a companion and fellow laborer of Paul during his first imprisonment at Rome. Philemon 1:23 and 24, Ephraim, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Archias, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. Colossians 4:14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greets you. Paul called Demas a fellow laborer at one point in their walk, okay? However, it appears that somewhere along the way, the love of the world got hold of him, and he deserted the apostle. 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, this is Paul speaking, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. In other words, three people deserted him all at one time. So if you're in the ministry and you're expecting everybody to hold your hand and stay with you, they're not going to. Because when the going gets rough, they're going to leave because they do not want to go down that rough road. They just don't. I don't care who they are. They are not going to stay with you. Now, the Bible does not say why Mark deserted, but his departure came right after a mostly fruitless time in Cyprus, and that's in Acts 13, 4 through 12. Only one conversion is recorded in Cyprus. There had been strong demonic opposition. So this is where Luke got upset. It's likely that the young John Mark was discouraged at the hardness of the way. I'm sorry, it's Mark, not Luke. It's likely that the young John Mark was discouraged at the hardness of the way and decided to return to the comforts of home. So it wasn't Luke, it was Mark who got discouraged because he only saved one soul. You know, if one soul is all you ever save, then don't get upset. That's one soul that's not going to go to hell. A lot of people, they want thousands of people in their churches, you know, and they want all these, they record all these souls are saved just because a bunch of people comes up the altar and, you know, makes the altar call, and then people write it down. Oh, we got 100 people saved today. No, you didn't. They're no more saved than the floor was. Somebody just said, go up there and say you received Christ. That's not true conversion. John Mark could not stand the heat of the spiritual battle and abandoned Paul and Barnabas in the battlefield. Remember, I always told you, when some of you in the foxhole with me, I'd look around and you wouldn't be there anymore. You'd leave me. You wouldn't cover my back, right? You all have people like that in your life, right? You don't want to take them to battle with you because they would leave you the minute everything got hot. Acts 12:25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Acts 13:13 says, now when Paul and his party set sail from Phaeus, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. In Acts 15:36-41, I'm just showing you that eventually Mark got it together, okay? After a few days of this, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit all our friends in each of the towns where we preach the word of God. Let's see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take John along, you know, this is John Mark, the John named, nicknamed Mark, but Paul wouldn't have him. He wasn't about to take along a quitter who, as soon as the going got tough, had jumped ship on them in Pamphylia. And see, we have to really listen to this, what we're reading today, because I'm one of those that just like to say, okay, you jump ship and get out. All right, now, but listen to this. Tempers flared, and they end up going their separate ways. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and offered up by their friends to the grace of the master. In other words, people prayed for them. Went to Syria and Sicilia to build up muscle and sinew in those congregations. In other words, it said to encourage them. They went back and encouraged the people. Now, we see here Paul said, we're not taking John Mark with us. So him and Barnabas got into an argument, and then they went their separate ways. Church split, right? Paul was determined not to take him again in the missionary battle, and as a result had a sharp disagreement with Barnabas. But Barnabas was an encourager. He was able to motivate and encourage John Mark, and Mark wrote one of the epistles. So somewhere along the line, he got encouraged enough where he stayed and got himself together. Paul recognized this and requested him at the time of his death. Paul recognized this and requested for him at the time of his death. Look at what he said in 2 Timothy 4:11. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. See, now he's okay. The man's got cleaned up. You can bring him in and he'll help me out. I think that might be a prodigal. Right? Okay, how did he become profitable? He was profitable because Barnabas gave him another chance and encouraged him in the ministry. Tonight I want to motivate you, for the battle is on. You have another chance in the army of the Lord. So many of you here, God will tell me that you're really messing up bad. And I said, God, just slap him really hard. I do. I'm just so sick of this. Just slap him really hard and get him together. And he does. I don't know if he slaps them hard, but he does get them together. I keep praying, God, come on. You said you're going to do this and this. Get them together so we can get this thing rolling. Amen? Because if you keep messing up, God can't drop his glory. You know, if you keep messing up, you can't be the priest in your household. You have to somewhere along the line to be determined, I'm not going to mess up anymore, period. I am what God called me, that told me that I am, and the devil's a liar. The devil can't manipulate and control me because the Holy Spirit controls me, right? Well, the Holy Spirit doesn't control you, but I have the Holy Spirit in me, and he lead, guides, and directs me. That's better, right? All right. Have you ever noticed that most river channels do not have a straight course? Why? If you don't know that, that's true. They meander from one direction to another in search of less resistant routes. They cannot break through or withstand obstructions. However, a river channel with a great force can break through or withstand obstructions. An example is a tsunami flood disaster. The ocean water came with force and broke through all obstructions on its way because it had a great force. Question, what is a driving force that is motivating you? You have to ask yourself that question tonight. What is a driving force that's motivating you? The driving force that's motivating me right now is that I think I have one of the best congregation of people that any pastor can have. I feel like I'm the most blessed pastor in the world because you guys are, you're there, you're doing everything you can. And even whenever you slip and fall, you get back up again, you know, and you encourage me by watching you when, you know, get back up and keep on moving. You don't quit. That excites me. You don't quit. And I'm going to be your father tonight. My father always told me, don't you, if you're going to take on something, you stay with it and finish it. Don't you ever quit in the middle of anything. And, you know, and he really pounded that in my head. So that's why I don't quit anything. And sometimes I should quit and I don't. And that has gotten me in trouble too. All right. Paul had the driving force of the vision he received from the Lord when he had a marvelous encounter with him on his way to persecute the believers in Damascus. And this is what he said in Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, none of these things move me, because he has a course that is a vision to finish with joy. See, we don't even know what our vision is most of the time. Paul was determined to complete the race no matter what it would cost him. How many of you like that tonight? The vision God has given you will not be terminated prematurely. You will fulfill the purpose of God for your life. If you're determined to fulfill it, you will fulfill it. There'll be many obstacles that make you want to quit, but you don't quit. You just keep right on going. Several places in the Bible, we are encouraged to hold fast to what we have received. And we see some examples in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. We are to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. In Hebrews 3:6, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You see that? I'm a child of God. Oh, the devil's hit me on the head. What kind, you know, you're not a good witness with that. You're not. If you're a child of God, then you're full of the power of God. I sent Sister Nancy a song today by Mandy's. What was it called? Prove Me. Prove Me Wrong. And the song is beautiful. It's Prove Me Wrong by Mandez. And it's all about, I think her mother died and the heartache and pain. And she said, God, this isn't encouraging me or anything. It's a really good song. I might have you listen to it one day here. But I was listening to that song. And, it's bad things happen to good people. And they don't always build us up. But, you know, as we keep our eyes on God, and as we keep going down the path he has our feet on, we'll be okay. God will strengthen us. He'll see us through. How do you think God felt when they crucified his son? How do you think he feels now when the people tread all over Jesus' blood? How do you think he feels now when the church say there is no such thing as the Holy Spirit? You know, stop and think about all these things. So what are you doing to tell God he's not God? You have to think about this. We are admonished constantly to hold fast to the end without wavering. This is a young man's testimony. When he gave his life to Christ, he had a lot of worldly friends, and one day he went to share with his friends of his new salvation experience. They laughed at him and told him that he won't last long in his salvation, that very soon he will come to join them again. He vehemently opposed their idea and belief and persuaded them to receive Christ into their lives. After a long time of argument, he finally said that they are at one end of a rope and he is at the other end. They are pulling at one end, and he is pulling at the other end to see who will pull the other to their side. He said that he is determined to pull them to his side, but if he cannot pull them to his side instead of them pulling him to their side, he will let the rope go, because he has made up his mind not to come to their side. That is the statement of a determined believer concerning his salvation. Too many people easily give up and then go back to their vomit. But, you know, as I read that story, remember what God told me at the beginning of me opening up the church? He said, Satan has hold of one arm. I have a hold of the other. You're in a tug of war. It's up to you which one of us win. Jesus is going to win. I'm not going to let that stupid little sliding snake make fun of my God. Amen. So we're all in that tug of war. Just like this young man said, you have one end of the rope and I have the other. I'm going to let go if you're not going to come to me. Some of us need to drop some people because they're trying to pull you into their pigsty. Come on. You are holding on to the rope of salvation. Don't let go the rope of salvation. The devil will do all he can to discourage you and pull you down. If you don't give up, the devil will give in. He will do that. He'll leave you. All right, here's a story. After the tsunami flood disaster, I was watching CNN as they were interviewing and relaying the news of the disaster. A man gave the story of what happened to him during the flood. He said that as the waters carried him and others, he suddenly saw a rope hanging out, and he grabbed a hold of it, and he held onto it. As he was holding the rope, he saw dead bodies and debris passing him with great speed. He said that he was determined to not let go of the rope, knowing that his survival is dependent on his holding on to the rope. The difference between him at that moment and the dead bodies around him was his ability to hold on to the rope. He not only survived a tsunami, but also was able to save a little child he was carrying while he held on to the rope. It took every breath and strength in him to hold on to the rope until the flood subsided. But he held on to the rope. He didn't want to die. He was determined to live. Some of us need to hold on to the rope. And, you know, because if you let go of the rope, you're going to die spiritually. And you have to be determined you're not going to die spiritually, but you're going to live. Do you ever lay the word aside and say, I just don't understand it, you know, when you're reading the Bible? If so, did you ever think about having the determination to stay on your knees until you do have understanding? Come on. Could you please tell me what scripture so-and-so says? You know, you call somebody else, you know. Instead of staying on your face before God or sitting there with your word before you and letting him explain it to you, you call up somebody else. They probably give you a false idea of it anyhow. But God knows exactly what his word is saying. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that's proceeds out of the mouth of God. How determined are you to keep up with the power, faith, love, grace, and works that are in every word of God? When you are anointed with determination, you will hide God's promise in your heart like the psalmist did. Didn't God anoint us with determination one night? So you're anointed with it. You don't have any excuse. Amen. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You can know all the word and stand up here and just, you know, just say it, just quote it, do whatever. But if you don't have it hid in your heart, what say, thy word have I hid in mine heart, why, that I might not sin against thee. If you're going to quote the word, then live it. Come on. The writer of Proverbs said in Proverbs 4:20-22, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why? For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Some young people go back and forth with the world, but you cannot play tag with God and get by. You're either with him or without him. There are people in the house of God do it all the time. Luke 9:62, the Bible says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. If you look back, you're in trouble. I don't know how many people that's been on drugs that we've helped, and I've even brought in my home and helped, that turn around and go right back to drugs. See, they're not, they keep saying, well, you know, I gave up some. Well, give it all up. You have to be determined that you're going to give it all up. And then you have to be determined you're not going to go back and pick up the little bit that you dropped. You like to do drugs. That's why you stay with it. I know, don't throw your apples at me, your tomatoes, but that's the truth, because God told me they just don't want to give it up. They enjoy what it does to them. And what I'm watching right now is making me sick to my stomach. I think, how in the world could you ever go through all those months of withdrawal and get right and then go right back to it again? Doesn't make sense to me. Come on. There's no determination there to stay right. You're determined as all hell to get high. So why can't you turn that around and be determined in heaven that you're not going to get high? That was for God, so then just take that and do what you want to with it. All right, without divine determination, you are like a ship without a sail on a stormy sea. Your little boat will be tossed all around, and if you are not careful, it will soon sink. You must be determined not to drift away from the shore and to stay with Jesus. When you have the divine determination, it will not matter what your family says or plans. If you don't want to go to one of their events, or if they go to the movies you don't feel right about, don't go. If they do things you do not believe in doing, don't do them. You have to stand for Jesus against everybody and everything. Well, if I don't spend time with my family, they'll think I don't love them, and they won't want to talk to me no more. Well, you know, what's more important to you, Jesus in heaven or your family who doesn't want to serve God? Yeah, but you know, that's up to you what you do with that. Well, just maybe I'll get them saved. Well, just maybe they'll pull you into their pigsty too. I tried that. Oh, God, I'll get them saved. I'll get them saved. That's a bunch of baloney. They wasn't wanting to get saved. That's why they're not in the house of God. Amen. They just made me a mess. Job 16:19, Job said, behold, my witness is in heaven and my record is on high. You know, God, everything he ever did is written in heaven. And Job 20, make sure you have a good record in heaven and that you hold it up before the devil. Do you hear that? Job 23:10, you could be, I don't know why I'm on drugs now, but you could be the worst drug addict in the world and get right. And then whenever the devil comes out, you say, oh, come on, you know, you used to. Devil. In heaven, that's all, but God threw it into the sea of forgiveness. That is not recorded anywhere. I am free. I'm not going to go into your mess ever again, right? It could be anything, perversion. It could be anything. The devil will come and tell you, oh, come on, you know you want to do this. No, I don't, you dummy. See, you're not determined in your heart that you're not going to do it, and that's why the devil can talk you into doing it. Come on. We know that's the truth, right? That could be food. It could be anything. You know, some people drink too many sodas. The devil said, you know that you want a cold soda. And you know it's bad for your health. No, I don't, devil. I'll get a cold drink of water. Ask Alan and Aaron. They believe in water. Amen? They'll tell you. All right. Proverbs 3:5-6. No, Job 23:10, but Job said, but he, the Lord, knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. In other words, Job says, my God knows me. And he can put me through the furnace as many times as he wants to, but he knows I'm going to come out shining like pure gold. I'm not going to give in. You see that? Job trusted God. Do you have that spirit? Job trusted God. Do you have that spirit? Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, you guys are going up to Wilmington. You have to understand one thing. You know, I've taken drug addicts into my home, and, you know, and I took them off the street, and they went back. And I said, but why do you want to go back? I cried. I pleaded. The street calls me. I know I have everything that anybody could ever want, anybody could ever dream of right here. Love, and you know, how everything. But I need the street. And they cannot get away from the street. That just blew my mind. took the same person back in, what, three times? And they stayed. They really, you know, they really wanted to stay in, but they said, I got to go. I got to go. The street's calling me. The darkness had such a hold. And you were trying to do deliverance. They didn't want deliverance. So where are they at? They're on the street again today. Amen. So you guys that go out there in the street, you're not going to win everybody. They just want the street. Had one person in my home, and I went home one day, and all of a sudden they were gone. I said, why did they leave? Because, you know, they lived under the bridge up there in Wilmington. They had their own little, you know, had a little bed in there and had it all fixed up like their home. And they say they missed their home under the bridge. You know, and they're happy up there under that bridge, getting high. People come in and hit them over the head and robbing them. You know, but that's not funny. But, you know, it's, you just can't save everybody. They're not determined to change. They like the life they're living. And they said, I like the way I lived up there. I thank you for taking me in. I thank you for everything you did for me. I thank you for going out of your way and making a bedroom for me. But I just have to go back to my home under the bridge. So you run into that too. They might not tell you that, but that's what their mindset is up there. And one of them told me, you just don't know what it's like yapping on the street. I'll take you up one time and I'll show you. You'll love it. I know, thank you. You love it. You just don't understand. The street is wonderful. This person's been shot and raped, you know, arrested and everything, but they still want to go to the street. We all know what that is. We all know it's demonic, or, you know. But still in all, they're not determined to get right, no matter what you show them. So I said, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It takes anointed determination to trust in God with all your heart, and not to lean to your own understanding. It takes anointed determination. Some of you say you trust in God, but if it is not divine trust, you do not trust him with your whole heart. Now, God told me that one time about myself years ago. Some of you say you trust in God, but if it is not divine trust, you do not trust him with your whole heart. I had to repent and get right with God about that. You must have anointed trust, just as you must have anointed determination, or you will not be able to hold up in the ferocious storms that God has said is coming your way. And when God told me to write that down there, he said the storms are going to get so rough. He said that a lot of my people are not going to be able to stand. And this is why he's had me teach on these lessons about determination. He's trying to get it into your spirit, man. You have to be determined to make it the whole way with God, to stay on the course he's placed your feet upon, no matter what circumstances come into your life. In fact, tonight you have to say to yourself, I am, devil, you're not taking me out. You're not going to give my God a bad name. I am determined to finish this race. You know, if you're someplace where God doesn't want you, well, then ask God to tell him, God, let your will be done in my life. And then let him do what he wants to do with you. All right, anointed determination comes by bringing self under subjection to every word of the living God, by bowing to thus saith the Lord, and by trusting in the Lord with all of your heart. So you have to get into the word. And you have to tell God, I want to eat this word. I want it down in my spirit, man, where the enemy can't touch it. And as I read this word, as I study this word, I want the anointing to flow out of the word onto me so I can keep myself right so I can minister to others. You know, and you just have to be determined. You just don't know. I mean, unless you live in hell on earth, I can't explain it to you. And when you live on hell on earth every day, and the devil's at your door, knocking on your door all the time, walking in and out of your bedroom all the time, you have to be determined, beyond determined, that you're going to stand your ground, that the enemy's not going to have no rule over you, You know, when you don't have any place to hide or any place to find peace and the enemy's constantly in your face, you have to have determination that just won't quit. And you have to keep going forward. You can't go, you keep going forward. You keep going forward. Keep going forward. Don't go backward. Don't go to the right, but go forward. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back into the mess I was in yesterday. Do you? There's nothing on my right or on my left that I want. I already looked both places years ago and wasn't anything there. God says, put your eyes upon my eyes and just keep your eyes on me and just walk. And you have to be determined. And I'm going to tell you, the devil's going to come at you every second of every day to steal your determination. Because he does, if you stay and you get determined and he can't break you down, you're going to tear his kingdom down. So see, he has to fight you. He has to destroy you. Are you understanding this? And you have to be just as determined he's not going to as he is determined that he is going to. I know he wants to kill me. He's told me that face to face. I've had some face to face conversation with him. He's, I will kill you. He can't. He can't. He can't kill you either. Get this in your head tonight. He has no authority over you. You are a child of God. But don't do like I did when I first started. I was just so cocky. You can't touch me in any way, shape, or form. Devil. I laughed in his face. Well, he soon showed me what he could do to me. And God said he'll turn you every which way but loose, but he can't kill you. So now I know. He can come and he can confront me and do things, but he can't kill me. So I'm a fighter. You have to be a fighter if you're going to be in God's army. If you guys are going to go up there in the streets, you have to be a fighter. You have to be able to face the devil eyeball to eyeball, and you have to win the race up there. Just don't go, I'm doing street ministry. Are you really? You know, think, are you really? Or are you just up there saying, I'm look at me, I'm doing street ministry. Are you up there conquering hell? That's what you have to ask yourself. Am I really doing a works for the Father? And I know you two guys are up there, but I'm just giving you that's just an example. You just can't go and say, oh, I'm doing this for God. You have to be determined that you're going to make the power of God come to life in those people's lives. You know, if what you two are doing is you're planting seeds. And then what you need to do is say, would you leave? Say, Holy Spirit, come and water that seed. Send somebody else. Well, tell something else. Send somebody else to come. And then they're the ones that reap that soul. It doesn't matter if you see the soul get saved. You planted the seed. And if you're up there just to see a bunch of souls run, you say, we got 10 people saved today. That's the wrong reason to go. We're going out today and we're going to plant the seed. And we don't care if we reap the harvest today or not, but we're going to plant that seed. And somewhere along the line, God is going to send somebody their way and they're going to give their heart to Christ. But see, we have to be determined that we are not God, that we are a vessel that he works through. And we have to be determined and we go out and we face the devil because he's cruel, he's mean, he's vicious, that we're going to defeat him and he can't defeat us. Now, do you have that type of determination? If you do, then God can use you in his army. If you don't, he can't use you because you'll quit just like Mark did. It was Mark, right? John Mark. Just you'll quit just like Mark. When the battle gets rough, you'll quit. Or when the devil comes and tries to pull you back into your old lifestyle, you'll give in. You know, you have to, I'm sorry guys, but no, I'm not sorry. This is a battle. You know, God just made me emphasize, this is a battle that we're in. We're not out here playing tiddlywinks any longer. We're not out here just trying to make everybody feel good. We are in a battle for souls. And we have to be determined beyond determination that we are going to be the vessel of honor that God can work through. The vessel of honor that God can work through. You can't be out here dabbling a little bit in sin. That doesn't work. You have to be totally, completely dedicated to God, walking a holy life. Amen. If you're willing, God's ready. If you're really willing to be determined that you're going to go all the way with God and that the devil is, he might have stopped you before tonight, but from this night forward, he is not going to ever stop you again, that you are determined that you're going to win every battle from this day forward. And God says, come on up here. Because he's going to give you a special anointing that you're going to be able to go forth and do the things you're just now professing that you're going to do.